I'd like to read, first of all, please, in the Revelation and chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and am knocking. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. He that overcomes, to him will I give to sit with me in my throne, as I also have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. And then further on, in chapter 21, and verse 6. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that thirsts of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be to him God, and he shall be to me son. But to the fearful and unbelieving and sinners, and those who make themselves abominable, and murderers, and fornicators, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part is in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The gospel that I'm going to speak of concerns one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. This verse that I read in Revelation, behold, I, that is the Lord Jesus himself. He said, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all to me. Speaking of his death upon Calvary's cross. It's a solemn thing to consider the death of the Lord Jesus. Many of us remembered his death this morning when we came together. Think of the Lord Jesus, a perfect, holy, sinless man, going into death. Dying the death of a malefactor. Dying the death of a sinner. But he was sinless. But he died that death for you and for me. What a wonderful redemption the death of the Lord Jesus has wrought. It's given me peace in my heart. Settled all those sins that stood out against me. Has the Lord's death settled the things that stand out against you? I trust that he has. But if he hasn't, this is the day of salvation. This is the time when you can come to know him and to put your faith and trust in his finished work. He says, I stand at the door. That is the place that the Lord Jesus has taken. He's actually taken that place and he's standing right there, right now. He wants you to take account of the fact that he's standing right by you. Are you going to ignore the Lord Jesus? Are you going to ignore his entreaty of love for your soul? He's come near to you tonight. And he's standing. Think of that. The Lord Jesus standing. One of his servants, Stephen, it says of him that the heavens opened and he saw the Lord standing. What courage that gave him when he saw the Lord standing. And you need not be fearful tonight because of the Lord's presence. The Lord would not desire any harm. Rather the opposite. He desires your blessing. He desires that you may come to know him as a saviour. Desires that you may know him as the one in whom you can confide. There's no one else that you can confide in, dear hearer. No one who you can approach who has the sympathy that a sinner needs. One that is burdened perhaps with the weight of sin. You need to speak to someone who's sympathetic. And you know the Lord Jesus is sympathetic. He's tasted everything, sin apart. He knows all your fears. He knows your sorrows. He knows your joys too, of course. He knows the innermost desire of your heart. Why don't you come and speak to him? He's standing, and his arms, can I say reverently, are open to you tonight in grace. But not only that, he's standing and he's knocking. The Lord is knocking at the door of your heart. And the question is, will you let him in? Or will you ignore his gracious call? I cannot give you tomorrow. I cannot give you even the next few minutes, because the coming of the Lord Jesus is what every believer is looking for and waiting for. But just now, the Lord is knocking. He desires that you should hear his knock and to open to him. He doesn't want you to hear his knock and then walk away. He wants you to hear his knock, and he wants you to open to him. He's going to open to him. What is he going to be like if you open to him? Is he going to be stern and cross? No, of course not. He loves you. He loves me. Every sinner, indeed, he loves. He's not going to turn you away. Just desires your salvation. Desires your blessing. And as a gospel preacher, I desire your blessing too. I'm just a mouthpiece, as it were, for the Lord speaking. If one doesn't preach, who is going to receive the blessing? It's beholden upon every gospel preacher to lay out the truth of the glad tidings. And I desire to do that, that you may know the way of blessing, that you may know what it is to come to the Lord Jesus himself. We're not presenting any other man. We're not presenting any other way. You cannot do this by good works. So many people, unfortunately today, think the way of salvation is composed of good works. And you have to feel extremely sorry for such persons, because they mean well. In all that they do, they mean well. And yet the Lord is going to have to say, I never knew you. Why should the Lord accept someone's works when that person themselves may not have accepted his dying? When they have not accepted the finished work of the Lord Jesus upon Calvary's cross. His precious blood was shed. Why was it shed? It wasn't some random act by a soldier that hated him. The Lord's blood was shed because God demanded it. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Think of the demands of God as regarding sin. God could not pass the sinner by. The hymn says, justice demands that he should die. How thankful we're not given the justice that we deserve, but rather we're given mercy and grace upon grace. Oh, the mercy, you know, that is at the Lord's disposal. Who delight to bring in mercy. Delights to show mercy. Delights to show grace and to show love. And so that verse goes on. If anyone hear my voice and open the door. Going to hear his voice. Is that door going to be opened? Your heart's door? Let him in. You're going to find that, you know, peace and joy will fill your heart. It's not a peace or a joy that is known by the world today, you know. Anything that is joyful here on earth is fleeting. It doesn't last. It's snatched away. Satan wants to put something else in your way. Peace? No. People cry peace, peace, and sudden destruction comes. We see that only too well. Think of the way that Satan acts through the minds of men, seeking to terrorize the population of different countries. And he works in such a way that men become fearful. Men become suspicious. Well, there's nothing to be suspicious about in the glad tidings. It all concerns Jesus, God's beloved Son. And then he says, if anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him. What an invitation! No other invitation like this. I will come in unto him and sup with him. I love to think of the Lord Jesus coming in that way. Not as a great king, but he is, but as one who desires your blessing. One who would draw near. Think of the Lord drawing near. You know, he drew near to the woman that came to take water out of the well at Bethlehem, at Sychar. He came near. And you know, she responded. You might say she was an example of this verse. She saw the Lord standing there, or rather in this instance he was sitting, but she saw him and she heeded to him. He said, give me to drink. You know, in effect, that is what the Lord is saying. Give me to drink. Give me something of you that I can bless. Give me something that with which I can bring you into blessing. And, you know, she got her eyes open as to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. She could say, come, see a man who told me all things ever I had done. Is not he the Christ? See, her eyes had been opened as to who he is. And I desire that your eyes may be opened as to the person of the Lord Jesus. So we just read those few verses again at the end of Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Lord has come in such a wondrous way, and he just desires that this water of life may be freely yours tonight, that you may drink and be satisfied. The thirst of men and women today is such that they keep drinking of the cisterns of this world and find no satisfaction in it whatever. But I read this verse not only because it speaks of the Lord as being the beginning and the end, but there's a warning here as to the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And I do not believe a gospel is complete without a word of warning as to what will happen to those who ignore God's overtures of love and grace. Scripture says that this lake which burns with fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. That's primarily who it is for. But, you know, if you haven't got a living link with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't put your faith and trust in his finished work, if you haven't looked at the blood and say, this made my peace with God, if you haven't gone that way, then this is going to be the result. You will have to join those who are there. This place of torment. What a sobering thought it is that this is the day of grace. This is God coming out in love to you tonight, that you may find peace and joy in your heart. It's putting your faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Well, really, I've come to the end of the gospel. This is what I wanted to bring home to each one, that the Lord Jesus is standing now and he's waiting. He's knocking. He desires a response from you. You cannot ignore God's overtures of love and grace. He's standing there and he's knocking. And you know, the Lord is patient. But, as I've said, this day of grace is soon to cease. Time will come when those that know and love our Lord Jesus Christ will be caught away. It will be a swift and secret thing. Those who love the Lord Jesus will be caught away. The dead in Christ also raised to dwell with him forever. What a glorious prospect we have as those that know the Lord Jesus. Those that have been purchased with his blood. What a price he's paid for you. What a price he's paid for me. Doesn't it move you in your affections toward him to think of the price that he's paid? God, it says, having sent, he says, I will send my beloved son. That's what it was with when it for God. I will send my beloved son. And he has sent him, and he's come into the world, and the world hated him. The world hated the Lord Jesus. Away with this man. We will not have him to reign over us. That's the cry that went out at the time. And you know, that cry hasn't diminished in any way, but rather it's got more intense. We will not have this man, the Lord Jesus, to reign over us. And so they chose Barabbas. Accused of insurrection and murder. That's who they chose. And when we look abroad today, what do we see? Corruption, insurrection, murder. Everything that causes men to quake and fear. Why is that? Because they chose the wrong man. But you know, God has highly exalted the one who is in his presence now. It says he's passed through the heavens. He's been given that place of glory and excellence. And it quickens my heart's affections when I hear the name of the Lord Jesus being exalted, being glorified, giving a place of honour. May you give him that place of honour in your heart tonight, for his name's sake.